Please turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 31 and verse 13. Genesis chapter 31 and verse 13. May the Lord help us to consider his word. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointedst the pillar, and where thou vowedst a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out of this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. It is the opening words that are especially upon my mind, where the Lord says to Jacob, I am the God of Bethel. It's 20 years since Jacob had that wonderful dream, so soon after leaving home. He'd been with his uncle Laban for 20 years. He'd had many difficulties, and yet the Lord had prospered him. Prospered him to such an extent that Laban's attitude changed toward him. And we read in verse 3 of this chapter 31, and the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Then we read that Jacob called Rachel and Leah to tell them about the situation, and the situation with his father-in-law, and also the fact that God had spoken to him and told him it was time to return to the land of Canaan. And we have a fuller account of what the Lord spoke to him in these verses. We find that's very often the case in the scriptures, that there is first of all a summary, and then there is more detail. And we find it so here. We read in verse 11, in verse 13, that God says, I am the God of Bethel. He says, I've seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. And what memories must have come flooding back to Jacob when the Lord spoke these words. How he had left home those 20 years ago. He'd had to leave because of his own deceit and because of Esau's reaction to Jacob obtaining the blessing by stealth, by deceit. And Esau vowed to kill him. And so he was sent away from home. Of course, it was high time that he found a wife. I believe it can be established that he was 77 when he left home. Esau had been married for quite a long time. It was high time for Jacob to find a wife, and so he went to Haran, and you know the story of how Laban gave him Leah instead of Rachel, and then told him he could have Rachel if he worked for him another 7 years. He didn't have to wait another 7 years to marry her. Laban said, "Fulfill her week, and I will give her unto thee." And so after a week, he had Rachel, but he had to work 7 years after that. And of course, in that time, many, many children were born. And now he not only has a large family, but he has many flocks and herds. But the Lord was reminding him of his beginnings, of when he first made himself known to Jacob. And it's good to be taken back to our beginnings. And we can think of how the Lord reminded his people through Ezekiel of their beginnings in Ezekiel chapter 16, and he likens his people under the name of Jerusalem, their chief city. He reminds them of their wretched state when he found them. Like a helpless infant, an infant that was unwanted and cast out into the open field and left to perish. And the Lord says, "And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live." John Newton has a hymn based on that that begins, "When we lay in sin polluted, wretched and undone we were, all within our nature suited only to produce despair. Ours appeared a hopeless case, such it had been but for grace." He goes on to say how the Lord passed by and said, "Live." As we lay exposed and friendless, needing what no hand could give, then the Lord, whose praise be endless, passed us by and bid us live. Your beginning may have been a small beginning in many ways. You know, it was said to Job, "Though thy beginnings were small, yet should thy latter end greatly increase." And God says to his people through Ezekiel in in Ezekiel chapter 34, I will do better unto you than at your beginnings. Well, Jacob then was taken back to his beginnings. God said to him, I am the God of Bethel. I'd like to consider this in four ways. First of all, the God of Bethel was the God of the patriarch, Jacob. We read in Hosea chapter 12 and verse 4, there are several verses about Jacob there, and it mentions key points in his life. It says he took his brother by the heel in the womb. We're reminded of that remarkable incident at his birth. And then it goes on to say, by his strength he had power with God. Referring to Genesis 32 and that remarkable incident there, when he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. But then it says, he found him in Bethel. And we might say, well, who found who? It appears that Jacob is the subject. It is Jacob that's being spoken about. And I think the commentators take the view that it means that Jacob found the Lord. Well, that is true, but it's also true that the Lord found Jacob. And we can think of John chapter 1, where we read about Jesus finding Philip. Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. And a few verses later on, Philip says to Nathanael, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. The Lord found Philip, and Philip said, we found him. And both are true. But what a wonderful thing it is that the Lord does find poor sinners. And he works in their hearts. And surely it's true to say that just as John says, we love him because he first loved us, we can say, we found him because he first found us. He found him in Bethel. How did God find him? A lonely fugitive. All alone. And in chapter 32, when he's pleading with the Lord, when Esau's coming to meet him with 400 men, when he's pleading with the Lord, he reverently reminds the Lord of how the Lord has prospered him. He says, with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I'm become two bands. So many of us that it's best to be, so we're split into two groups. What a dark time it was in his life, with Esau vowing his death. But it was there at Bethel that God revealed himself to Jacob. And it seems evident to me that this was the beginning of his spiritual experience. He, we read about these two brothers, and Jacob had always had a different sense of values than his brother, a better sense of values. He recognized the value of the birthright. He recognized the value of the blessing of the firstborn. He had that recognition of those things. But that may well have been partly through the influence of his mother. You know that the Lord had revealed to Rebekah that two nations were in her womb, and that one people would be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. It may well be that through Rebekah's influence that Jacob had this realization of the importance and the value of those things. But here the Lord finds him, and he finds the Lord. God made him aware of his presence when he awoke we read he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." He had an awareness of God's presence that he'd never had before. What an awesome sense of God's presence he had. And the Lord told him who he was, who he is. He saw that ladder, and the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac." The Lord identified himself so clearly, so unmistakably. And so the Lord made himself known. And he made it quite clear that he who was the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac would be Jacob's God as well. The God of the patriarch. But secondly, I want to think of the God of peace. The God of Bethel is the God of peace. What a vast distance there is between heaven and earth. And what a vast distance there is between God and sinners. And we read in Isaiah chapter 59, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you." Sin has brought that distance between ourselves and God. You remember in the Garden of Eden, when our first parents disobeyed God's command, and they heard his voice in the garden in the cool of the day, and They doubtless heard it before and they'd heard it with delight. But now they heard it with fear, with dread. They were afraid and they tried to hide. Sin had brought that distance. They could no longer enjoy fellowship with God. That fellowship was broken. And they were now enemies instead of friends. Remembering the promise that God spoke, he said to the serpent, to Satan in the serpent, he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. So it's clear that Adam and Eve had, as it were, become friends of Satan by listening to him and by disobeying God. They had identified themselves with Satan instead of with God. And that link, as it were, needed to be broken. God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. There is then, as we are fallen sinners, there is that distance between us and God. But Jacob saw a ladder. He saw angels ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood above it. And that ladder signifies that there is a way to God. That God has made peace for his people. As the hymn puts it, there is a way for man to rise to that sublime abode, an offering and a sacrifice, a Holy Spirit's energies, an advocate with God. What a mercy that there is a way to heaven. There is a way to God's presence. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is a mediator. How we need a mediator. The children of Israel felt their need of a mediator at Sinai when God spoke from heaven the words of his holy law, and they couldn't bear to hear any more, and they pleaded with Moses to be their mediator. They said, go thou near. They asked Moses to go and to listen to God and to tell them what God had to say, rather than to hear God's voice directly. They felt their need of a mediator, and we need a mediator. And God has provided a mediator in the person of his dear Son. You remember how the Lord Jesus said to Nathanael, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The Lord Jesus was alluding to Jacob's ladder, and he was saying to Nathanael, in effect, he was saying, I am the ladder. I am the way. Oh, how we need that ladder. Cling to the ladder. Come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through him that we draw near to God. And it's through him that God blesses his people. He has made peace by the blood of his cross. He has reconciled poor sinners. Through Jesus' blood, the righteous God now reconciles poor sinners. He's the God of peace. The God of peace who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. He brought him again from the dead because his work was finished, because there was his sufferings were ended. There was no need for any further suffering. There was no need for him to remain in the grave. His sacrifice was accepted. The work was done. God raised him from the dead. The God of peace. But thirdly, the God of Bethel is the God of providence. The angels were ascending and descending upon that ladder. We read at the end of Hebrews chapter 1 concerning the angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? And we don't read much about the ministry of angels in the life of Jacob, but we do read at the beginning of chapter 32, before he heard about Esau coming to meet him, we read, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. As I see it, that was meant to be an encouragement to him. He was shortly to hear that Esau was coming against him. But God gave him a glimpse of the heavenly host. Think of Elisha when the Syrians sent to capture him, and when they arose in the morning, there was this army of the Syrians. And the young man that was with Elisha said, alas, my master, what shall we do? And he said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And he prayed, Lord, open the young man's eyes. And the Lord opened his eyes and he saw the heavenly hosts, didn't he? He saw the heavenly hosts round about Elisha. So, Jacob had no need to fear, but what a blessing he had, as he was enabled to pour out his heart to the Lord and to plead for deliverance, and then to be engaged in that wrestling with the angel who I believe it is evident was a pre-incarnate appearance of the Son of God. For he said, I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. But angels are ministering spirits. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And God uses angels in his divine providence. We can think of Elijah and how, when he was there in the wilderness, having heard that threat from Jezebel to take his life, on his way to Horeb, but he's exhausted. He needs to sleep, and he does sleep. When he awakes, an angel has brought him some food. And he eats it, and he sleeps again. And when he wakes up, there's some more food for him. We read of how the angels ministered to the Lord Jesus after his temptation. God is the God of providence. It's beautiful to read how Jacob speaks of God when he's blessing his grandsons, the sons of Joseph. He says, "The God which fed me all my life long, the God which fed me all my life long, the angel that redeemed me from all evil. Bless the lads. Yes, let my God be their God. The God who fed me all my life long." God has all means at his disposal. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He says, "Every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills." The hymn writer says, "With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer." David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And the Lord Jesus spoke of God's care for the birds and the flowers. And shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And Paul wrote to the Philippians, who have been instrumental in supplying his needs. And what did he write? "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The God of providence. But then fourthly, the God of the promises. And what precious promises God gave to Jacob. He promised his presence. "Behold, I am with thee." What a promise. The Lord's presence. And you know, when Jacob returned to Bethel in chapter 35, what did he say to his wives? He said, "I'm going up to Bethel where I anointed the pillar." He said, "Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went." He was with me. Oh, there were so many difficulties, weren't there? But Jacob here acknowledges that the Lord was with him. He's the faithful God. He had said, "I am with thee." And Jacob proved it, that the Lord was with him.
Bethlehem.
And it's a biblical greeting, isn't it? The Lord be with you. Boaz greeted his men in the morning. The Lord be with you. And they replied, the Lord bless thee. And Paul, often at the end of his epistles, he writes, the Lord be with you. The Lord be with you all. The last time I visited the late Mrs. Hawkins from Wattisham, she spent her last days in the pilgrim home in Tunbridge Wells, and she was very frail. She was confined to her bed, and it was the last time I saw her. And as I was about to go, I said, "The Lord be with you." And she said, "He is with me. He is with me. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And one of the staff was there and said, "Oh, what strong faith." Oh, it's a lovely memory. He is with me. Behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. Yes, he will keep, he will protect. He will preserve. Christ is the keeper of his saints. He guards them by his power. Subdues their numerous complaints in every gloomy hour. I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And of course it doesn't mean that he would leave him then. He would always be with him. The God of the promises. And the Lord said to him in the previous verse, "In thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Thy seed. And it's looking forward to Christ, isn't it? Because it's in him that all the families of the earth will be blessed. Jacob was an ancestor of the Lord Jesus in his human nature. At the beginning of the New Testament, we read the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. There he is in the second verse of the New Testament, in that line through which the Messiah came. In thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now the Lord promised also that he would give the land to his seed. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. But we know that as far as Abraham, Isaac and Jacob were concerned, they did not possess the land of Canaan. They were strangers in it. But we read in Hebrews chapter 11, they desired a better country, And they look for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. They look beyond the earthly inheritance to that heavenly inheritance. That inheritance which Peter describes as inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. The God of Bethel is the God of the promises. And all the promises in him, in Christ, are yea, and in him, amen, to the glory of God by us. The God of Bethel, the God of the patriarch, he's the God of peace, he's the God of providence, he's the God of the promises. And how true it is, as the psalmist wrote, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, and whose hope is in the Lord his God. Can you look back to beginnings? It's good to look back. Oh, how thankful we should be if we can look back to those spiritual beginnings, and if we can look forward to that heavenly inheritance. And all through that promised seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, through his merit, through his atoning sacrifice, through his spotless righteousness. We read in Colossians, and ye are complete in him. May the Lord bless his word.